Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with what God hates as we pick up in Micah chapter 6, verse 8. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
The prophet answers, "He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? Just to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." You say, well, that doesn't sound so bad, but look at it again. God requires that you do justly. Have you always done the right thing? Have you never cheated in a deal? Have you never concealed or hid a part of the truth? Well, scratch that one off. To love mercy. Do you really love mercy? Do you really love to just forgive and say, oh, forget it, it doesn't really matter? That's all right. Or do you love to get even? Do you go around saying, hey, I'll get even with him if it's the last thing I do? You just wait. I'll get even. And to walk humbly with thy God. Six things God hates. Yea, there are seven that are an abomination. Now, I don't really know what an abomination is, but it sounds bad. Unto him. Top of the list of the things that God hates are an abomination. The top of the list is a proud look. Pride goes before destruction, the Lord said, and a haughty spirit before a fall. God hates the pride of men. God wants you to walk humbly with him. That's what God requires. That's what God insists upon. But I have failed. I have not walked humbly before the Lord. I have not loved mercy. I have not done justly. What does God want? 1,000 rams? Rivers of oil? What can I give to God? What does God want from me? What does God require? He doesn't require 1,000 rams. He doesn't require rivers of oil to be offered in sacrifice. All he says is, hey, I've shown you the good way. Just do justly, love mercy, walk humbly. Well, Lord, I can't even do that. What now do you require? They came to Jesus and said, what must we do the works of God? And Jesus said, this is the work of God. Just believe on him whom he has sent. All right, I can handle that. That I can do. This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. So God's actual requirement for us tonight is just to believe in his Son, Jesus Christ, as our own Lord and Savior. And by your believing in him, he will come into your life. He'll begin to indwell your life, and he will begin to give you the power to do justly. He will begin to transform your heart to where you'll love mercy. And as you look upon his face, there's no way you could be proud, but you'll walk humbly before the Lord. So, God's requirements. The prophet is crying out, what can I do? Does God want me to give him my firstborn son? Rivers of oil? Whatever. What does God require? And the Lord answers, he has shown thee, O man, what is good. This is what God requires. The Lord's voice cries unto the city, and the man of wisdom shall see thy name. Hear ye the rod, and who hath appointed it? Are there not yet the treasures of wickedness in the house of the wicked? Doesn't God hate the scant measure that is abominable? I was reading one time where a baker filed a suit against the farmer in court in England. And in his suit, he charged that the farmer was continually giving him less butter as he sold it to him. He said, when he first started out selling me butter, he gave me a true pound of butter. But gradually, he has been giving me less and less butter for the pound. Until now, he's only giving me about 12 ounces of butter and charging me for a pound. The farmer, in his own defense, said to the judge, "Sir, I only have balance scales to measure the butter." And he said, "I always take the baker's pound loaf of bread and put it on the scale to weigh the butter." God speaks here against the scant measures that are abomination unto him. And then those who have a bag full of deceitful weights. Now, they used the balance scales, and they had deceitful weights. They had one set of weights that they would buy with and another set that they would sell with. Deceitful weights, bag full of deceit. God said, "I hate that." Dishonesty in dealing with our brothers. What a violation that is to the law of God, where Jesus said, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." What a violation to that law to cheat or to defraud my brother, to use deceitfulness in dealing with him. "For the rich men are full of violence," he declares. "The inhabitants have spoken lies. Their tongues are deceitful. Therefore also will I make thee sick in smiting thee, and in making thee desolate because of your sins. For you will eat but not be satisfied." And how true this is of a man who gives himself over to unbridled lust. He eats, but he is never satisfied. "And thy casting down shall be in the midst of thee, and thou shalt take hold, but you will not deliver, and that which you delivered you will give up to the sword. For you will sow, but you will not reap. Someone else will reap the benefits of all of your efforts and work. Thou shalt tread the olives, but they shall not anoint thee with oil, and sweet wine, but you will not drink it. For the statutes of Omri are kept, and all of the works of the house of Ahab," Omri and Ahab, the two wicked kings of Israel that led the people into such abominable practices and sins. "But you're walking in their counsels, you're following after their ways, that I should make thee a desolation and the inhabitants thereof a hissing. Therefore shall ye bear the reproach of my people." Now, a sign of great disdain was just if they wanted to show just utter disdain for people, they just hiss at them, just like you do a cat. Shh. And so it showed sign of total disdain. And God says, "You will become a hissing." People see you and they'll just hiss at you. They'll just give you the old shh, you know. It's sort of an irritating thing to have a person do that to you. They still do it. I've had them do it to me over there in Israel. They'll hiss at you if you don't buy their merch. You go to leave and they're angry with you. No, they'll hiss at you. They'll also spit. And that, too, is a sign of great disdain. In the Oriental customs, if you want to show total disdain, you spit on a person. Of course, I guess that would show disdain here, too, but we're a little more cultured. The prophet said, "Woe is me, for I am as when they have gathered the summer fruits, as the grape gleanings of the vintage. There's no cluster to eat. My soul desires the first ripe fruit. I'm desolate. I really don't have anything. The good man is perished out of the earth. There's no upright men left. They all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net, that they may do evil with both hands earnestly. The prince asks and the judges take bribes." The princes are asking for and the judges are receiving bribes. "And the great man, he uttered his mischievous desire, and so they wrap it up for him. Because of his prominence and all, he gets whatever he wants. Just whatever his mischievous desires are, wrap it up, give it to him. The best of them is as a briar, and the most upright is sharper than the thorn hedge. The day of thy watchman and thy visitation is coming, And now will be their perplexity. Your day is coming. You may be flouting the law of God now, but your day is coming. Trust not in the friends. Don't put your confidence in the guides. Keep the doors of your mouth from her that lies at your bosom. For the son will dishonor the father, and the daughter will rise up against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own house. Jesus quoted that. Therefore, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. The whole situation is so desperate, so totally void of God's work or power or love, mercy and grace and truth. My only hope, I will look for the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Rejoice not against me, O my enemy. For when I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light unto me. For I will bear the indignation of the Lord. The indignation is always a reference in the Old Testament to the tribulation period that will come, the great period of God's indignation upon the earth. And Israel will go through it. I will endure. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him. Until he pleads my cause and he executes judgment for me, for he will bring me forth to the light and I shall behold his righteousness. And all Israel shall be saved, for as the scripture declares, a deliverer shall come forth out of Zion who will turn the hearts of the children to their fathers. And that glorious day when Zion travails and brings forth through her prayers the return of Jesus Christ. Then she that is mine enemy shall see it, and shame shall cover her which said unto me, where is Yahweh your God? Mine eyes shall behold her, now shall she be trodden down as the mire of the streets, that is my enemies. And in the day that your walls are to be built, in the day shall the decree be far removed, and in that day also he shall come even to thee from Assyria, and from the fortified cities, and from the fortress, even to the river, and from sea to sea, and from mountain to mountain. And notwithstanding, the land shall be desolate because of them that dwell therein, for the fruit of their doings. Feed thy people with thy rod, the flock of thine heritage, which dwell solitarily in the wood, and in the midst of Carmel. Let them feed in Bashan and Gilead as in the days of old. According to the days of thy coming out of the land of Egypt will I show unto him the marvelous things. Even as when God delivered them and preserved them and parted the Red Sea, so again God is going to work among the people with marvelous miracles. The nations shall see and be confounded at all their might. When God destroys the invading armies of Russia, he said, then I will be sanctified before the nations of the world, and they will know that I am God. As he works, even as he did in delivering them from Egypt. And they shall lay their hand upon their mouth, and their ears shall be deaf. They shall lick the dust like a serpent. They shall move out of their holes like worms of the earth. During the great tribulation period, they're going to cry unto the rocks and the mountains and say, fall on us and hide us from the face of the Lamb, for the day of his wrath has come. Men will come crawling out of their holes. Now there are a lot of people today who are making survival shelters. And they actually can give you instructions on how deep you should dig your hole in the ground and how much dirt you need overhead to survive the radiation and the fallout and how to make your little shelters and so forth. And of course, during this time, when this great nuclear holocaust takes place, if you were here, it would be wise maybe to have that kind of a hole to hide in. But thank God, we don't have to be here. And if I am here during a nuclear holocaust, I'm not going to run and try to hide in some hole in the ground. I'm going to try and discover where the thing is going to explode, and I'm going to go stand right underneath of it. I prefer that to the misery and the horror of trying to live after a whole nuclear holocaust, trying to survive on an earth that has been devastated and with all of the slow death
by radiation and all, and oh, that's not for me.
But they will lick the dust like a serpent as they move out of their holes like worms on the earth. Imagine man reduced to a worm because of greed, because of his disobedience to God, because of his rebellion against God, because he won't listen to God, because he has made man. Humanism has placed man at the top. Dethrone God, put man on the throne. Look what man on the throne is doing to the world in which you live. As they have sought to take God from the throne, as they sought to take God from our education, as they've sought to take God from our national life, as they've sought to replace God with man and put man on the throne, declaring that man is the highest order of evolution and thus is at the top, and he is the product of accidental circumstances, actually, and is not the creation of God and responsible then to God. But man is on the throne, and look what that concept is bringing your world to as we are spending money for all of these weapons to just get rid of this menace who is sitting on the throne. It's what it is leading the world to. And so what if we do wipe out the world with nuclear holocaust? After all, we came in by an accident. Maybe we'll go out by an accident. What difference does it make, you know? For who can say it is evil? Who can say it is wrong? Everything is relative. So if it is important to my survival that I exterminate a whole race or segment of people, who's to say it's wrong? For there is no universal base of good. You see, this existential philosophy and this humanism gave rise to Hitler. And without conscience, they could sterilize people. They could exterminate the Jews and the Christians, because the Jews weren't the only ones that suffered Hitler's paranoia. Christians also, by the thousands, were destroyed in the gas ovens in Germany. But who's to say it is wrong? If indeed existentialism is correct, that it all, you know, you can starve 10 million people to death in China in order to set up the new republic. You can destroy millions of Russians in the Ukraine in order to establish your society. And it's for the betterment of the society, and the state is God. Caesar is Lord. Man on the throne. But man will bring himself to the worm. He crawls out of his caves, his holes, and they shall be afraid of the Lord our God and shall fear because of him. Who is a God? I like this. Who is a God like unto thee that pardons iniquity and passes by the transgression, overlooks our transgressions of the remnant of his heritage? He retains not his anger forever because he delights in mercy. So God is going to take these people back. They're still his people. He still says, my people. And he's still going to deal with them and restore them unto himself. He will turn again and he will have compassion upon us, referring to the nation of Israel. He will subdue our iniquities and he will cast out their sins into the depths of the sea. Thou wilt perform the truth to Jacob and the mercies to Abraham, which you have sworn unto our fathers. God, you'll keep your word, which you swore to our fathers in days of old. The confidence of the prophet in the word of God, he'll surely do it. And it will surely happen. What a glorious God. Who is a pardoning God like thee, who will overlook the transgressions and will again restore favor and glory upon his people, for he delights in mercy. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for such a God that we have, that you delight in mercy, that you're not willing, Lord, that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And thus You have dealt with us with such patience and with such long suffering and such gentleness, as you, Lord, with cords of love have drawn us to yourself, that we might know fellowship with thee, that beautiful, sweet communion with God. Oh, Lord, how we have benefited from our relationship with you. What blessings and glory it has brought into our lives to walk with you. God, help us. Through the power of your Holy Spirit, through the indwelling presence of Christ, help us, Lord, to be all that you want us to be and to do that which is pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have you always been fair and honest?
Return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Micah on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Micah 6 through 7 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord be with you and give you a beautiful week. May he watch over you and protect and shield you from the evil that is so prevalent in this world in which we live. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, just that beautiful, sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide upon your heart and your life all week long as you live with him.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
Through the course of the years, you, our radio listeners, have provided us with valuable feedback as to what has impacted you the most, or what has moved you spiritually in your walk with God. So it's with great pleasure that The Word for Today is pleased to offer you a collection of all-time favorites entitled Pastor Chuck Smith's Most Requested Bible Studies. These messages were selected from thousands of studies that were recorded live at Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa over the past 40 years. They represent the very best Bible studies by Pastor Chuck Smith. Every message is dynamic and filled with rich insights as Pastor Chuck expounds upon relevant issues on a variety of topics related to the Christian faith. This series will strengthen and inspire you to diligently study the Word of God and apply it to your life. You can order a copy of Pastor Chuck's Most Requested Bible Studies available on MP3 by calling The Word for Today at 1-800-272-9673 or visit us online at thewordfortoday.org.